Welcome to the 10K Collective podcast. Listen, if you want hacks, my friend, I'm afraid you're in the wrong place. Our philosophy has grown out of the 10K Collective London Masterminds. Members, by the way, make between $500,000 and $7 million a year in e-commerce, mostly on Amazon. Many have doubled revenue in the last 12 to 18 months. If you're that kind of person, this podcast is made for you. We're not puritanical. We use hacks. We just don't think you should focus on them if you're building a real business. Instead, we focus on what's been proven to work in the group. Real brand building, clear strategic objectives, courageous long-term goals, and long-range thinking. If you like that focus, keep listening, and welcome to the 10K Collective. So you talked about revolving lines of credit. Do you have other forms of credit that you would educate people in or help people get or that people can generally go for?
There are two that I think are important to the FBA sellers that are on this call, one of which is our term loan program. And the term loan program is unusual in as much as we have a platform where we have 25 lenders on that platform. Now imagine, if you will, if you went to 25 lenders individually, what would happen? Well, your credit would be destroyed. And the reason is you would have 25 inquiries on your FICO, which of course is going to really hurt your score and have a dramatic negative effect if other people see that you have applied for that much credit with different lenders. So what we've done is we've consolidated and put all these lenders into one place, and with one inquiry, actually with no inquiries, with a soft inquiry, which means it does not show up on your report, with one soft inquiry, we go out and spider out to these lenders, and we get within a 30 to 45 second period of time, well, we either get no offers or we get offers, and we can get multiple offers from one lender. And oftentimes we get multiple offers from multiple lenders. The APRs here start at 4.9% and go up accordingly from there, depending on the individual's credit. We would like to see that they are employed and that they do have a provable income, either W-2 income or 1099 income, and that money's flowing into their personal bank account. Again, our consultants go through all this with the individual. But the beauty is there are no hard inquiries unless you see a loan that's on the platform or multiple loans that are on the platform and you want to go forward. At that time, prior to or when you go into the final underwriting stages before they send you the money and put it into your bank account, yes, there will be a hard inquiry, but we've limited that to only the lenders that you like what they've got to offer and that have actually made you an offer in the first place. So it's a great, great program. Only takes a few minutes. It's an online process and very, very easy. And we can take people with FICO scores as low as a 580. And 580, if you have a 580, then you know you have multiple credit derogatories. Now, I'm not telling you that you're going to get approved if you've got a 580, but I am here to say that we've had people that have had as low as a 580 FICO score get some approvals for some amounts of money. Nice. The higher the FICO, of course, the more you're going to get approved for. And these loans, you put in how much you want, but we have loans that range starting with $1,000 and going up, on the other hand, to $50,000. And more good news, you can take, as I was saying, multiple offers. So let's just say you wanted a lot of inventory. You could put in for $50,000 and take, say, two offers and parlay that right to $100,000 right there and then. So it's a great program. We've had tremendous success, and it's a win-win.
That sounds like a very, again, super smart. I'm using the terribly American language. Why not? What the hell? I'm speaking to Americans. Super smart. Very, very smart in the sense that you understand exactly how the system works. So the soft inquiry is basically a bit like me saying to somebody, instead of making a job offer or something to somebody, say, look, you know, I'm not saying that this is available, but if you were free, would you be free on Saturday? You know, so I've done that in the past when I was an orchestral conductor fixing orchestras. I would say, listen, this isn't a job offer, because then it's a contractual thing and that goes into all sorts of trouble if you renege on it. But it's basically that soft inquiry things. It's very, very smart. And it makes total sense to me immediately. If you don't trigger an official thing, but unofficially, you're basically saying, look, I'm not actually asking for a loan. But look, if I were to ask you for a loan, would you say yes? It seems very British as well, if I may say so. That's a very British way of looking at things. So like, well, you know, we're just going to float the possibility past you here. So I love that. I love the fact that it works so well for you. And obviously the FICO score that you can deal with is, you know, as you say, no guarantees, but it's very worth inquiring for people who've had quite a lot of credit issues. The other question then, apart from the fact that you could get up to $100,000, which again would move the needle, particularly if you've got something in Q4, you've got to get some inventory now and you're going to have to order it maybe in September or even August or something to get it in, or maybe even earlier. And then the payoff won't go through to January. This brings you to the other question is what kind of term loans are we looking at? I mean, are we talking about a few months or years, or what sort of duration?
The term loans, that's another good question. The term loans vary in length, as little as 12 months and as long as 60 months, which is 5 years. So we've got everything. And when I said earlier, you'll get potentially multiple offers from each lender, or from lenders, they will sometimes make an offer for a 24-month loan at X APR and Y payment, and one for 36 months, and one for 48 months, and they may even make a 60-month offer. So,
okay. So
it's all dependent upon the lender.
Yeah, okay, excellent. So now one of the questions I wanted to ask about that, they want to see, is it a W-10 or a 1099? These are not familiar with me, but they would be to American listeners, I guess. So, and they want to see some income from employment. Now, if you're a serious Amazon business owner, then presumably your employment is going to be through your Amazon company. So is there an issue if your employment income is coming from the same basic source?
No, not at all.
That's okay, is it?
Right. No, that's okay. And it would be a 1099 income if that would be the case. W-2 income is usually relegated to people who are working for another employer, and then they get their W-2 income and they get their pay stubs and so on and so forth.
So if you're getting
into their FBA selling, and maybe they're not full time, and blah, 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 so on and so forth.
Okay, so you can handle both situations. So the W-2 is basically for the person who's got a day job and running their business, their Amazon business evenings, weekends. And then the 1099 would be maybe if you're a director of a company receiving a salary or something like that.
If you're a director of a company, you're probably still a W-2. Usually 1099 income is relegated to people who are solopreneurs and have their own company.
Okay, so if you're a director, what I meant by director of a company is if you are basically you're the owner or you know, significant owner of
Amazon-based
business. No, that's fine. I mean, this is why it's worth digging around into these details, because obviously the devil is often in the detail. So if you're like a solopreneur and you own 100% of the business, then that's one thing. But if you, for example, if you are the managing director or the CEO, depending on which side of the pond you're on, of a company that also has a couple of other investors in it or something like that, and you're getting paid a director's salary, then that would still be okay within the auspices of this program, is what I'm basically asking.
In most cases, I would say yes. Fine. We need to look at the situation, and it's just a question of us being able to derive and source the income. And if everything lines up, we are good to go.
Great. Just a quick sort of sanity check that they didn't require somebody to be, you know, having a day job that is off Amazon or something. Right. Okay.
Absolutely not.
Cool. All right. So that sounds very, very powerful, obviously. Again, this fintech platform sounds an extraordinarily quick and efficient way of bypassing an awful lot of problems. So very clever stuff. What other kinds of credit, if any, do you offer? So we talked about revolving lines of credit, we talked about trade lines that you then parlay into credit lines, credit cards, and those are the ones that are available to domestic or US-based people. And then the term loan program, again, that's a domestic one. And then, for US-based or domestic lending, are there any other possibilities?
Yes, there is. Now, many of the people who are on the call that are domestic here in the United States either worked for an employer where they received or are still receiving a 401k in a 401k or IRA, an investment retirement account, they could potentially move those funds. And when I say potentially, let me clarify and then have the ability to use those funds for anything that they wanted that was of a business nature. So first of all, with our BDRA, which is our business directed retirement account, you must have rollable funds. What do I mean by that? Well, if you're currently working for an employer and you're participating in their 401k or their IRA, however, you used to work for another company and you took a chunk of money, $50, $100, or more thousand dollars, and moved it over to your existing company, IRA, or 401k, you can actually carve out that money that you brought from the previous employer and roll it over into a very specialized type of self-directed account that we can get you involved with, which is called the BDRA, or Business Directed Retirement Account. Likely, you won't be able to move your 401k or IRA from the present employer because they usually have a stipulation that says, as long as you're employed here, you can participate, but you cannot, meaning you can invest. We'll put a certain amount of your paycheck in there for you that's tax deferred, but you cannot take the money. Now, the day they quit or retire, as the case may be, at that particular point, then that 401k and or IRA monies is assessable from their current, or now becomes their past employer.
Right,
the problem with most of these IRA and or 401k self-directed companies that are competitors of ours is they have what's called a very narrowly defined focus, very narrowly defined focus of what you can use the funds for. You can use the funds for real estate investing and for securities investing and these types of things. And that's pretty much it. You certainly cannot be using it for buying goods on Amazon. However, a BDRA, that business directed retirement account, is hugely successful based upon its flexibility when in use. You can use the funds for any business purpose whatsoever. Obviously, encapsulated in that statement would be utilizing those funds for making purchases to fuel your business with Amazon. So if you have a 401k or an IRA and it's rollable, you definitely need to look into this BDRA. It's phenomenal. It works. And we've been able to have clients of ours get access to, in certain cases, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars that they couldn't have previously because it was unattainable and or not usable because of the rules of the road.
Amazing. So that's going to be potentially a very, very powerful thing indeed. So let me just double check, sort of sanity check. Well, first of all, what it is. So basically, you need to have a 401k or IRA that is rollable. And that basically happens because you've changed employer at some point, which can include, obviously, the lovely situation where you go to your boss, say, I quit my day job in order to focus on my Amazon business. And by the way, that means a bunch of funds become rollable at that point, if I understand. And the thing that you offer, as opposed to most people's, is that there's a narrowly defined focus of what you can use that money for, whereas a BDRA is very much more flexible. And that means you can use it for stock or, you know, advertising or whatever else, I guess. So is that an accurate summary, first of all? And then I've got a couple of questions.
Yes.
Excellent. Good. So I'm getting here. Some good students. I'm learning Americans' financial situation here. And this is all part of the joy of being an internet marketer. You constantly have to expand your sphere of knowledge, which I find very, very interesting. So hopefully listeners are finding it interesting as well. The other question then is, obviously, we're dealing with somebody's pension. That sounds to me that something, obviously, just like putting your house on the line, or any other real estate for a business, sounds like something to be treated with caution. Are there sort of downsides that we need to be aware of here that could affect your pension in the future?
Well, the notion of an IRA or a 401k is it's going to be for retirement funds. And if you were to take those funds out without rolling them over, you'd be subjected to, first of all, a 10% penalty on all the funds, and you would also incur the ordinary income in the year that you took those funds out, which if you took $100,000 or $200,000 out and you were at a 43% tax bite, which you could be in the United States, obviously, and then the 10% penalty, half your funds just went goodbye.
Yeah.
That ain't pretty. On the other hand, I always tell people, look, the IRA, the 401k monies that are there, even coupled with your Social Security, are likely not going to get you the retirement to even keep you close to the lifestyle that you've enjoyed during your working life. You need to make an eyes, both open decision if this makes sense for you. Now, if you are looking at making home run deals, like so many of the Amazon sellers that I've seen, of course it makes sense. And or if you're looking to have access and control the destiny of your future, because you know that you need to make more money with that money that is available to you for the days that you're going to retire, then a BDRA certainly makes more sense.
Okay, it makes a lot of sense, actually. Yeah.
And frankly, if you feel, rightfully or wrongfully, that by leaving the money there, then you're going to at least have something, then likely making that move might not be the right thing for you. I cannot make that decision for an individual. I can only tell you that many individuals who have made that move and accessed that money have been able to parlay that money into 5 and 10 and 20 and 50x of the monies that they had in the first place.
Yeah, it makes sense. I mean, I think what you're saying is really drawing back out from the business, even just thinking in terms of not just e-commerce, but business as a whole, but just drawing further back to the investment 100,000 foot view, if you like. I mean, it comes down to asset allocation, right? So yes, it might make sense to have some of your stuff. If it's not rollable, presumably if you've got $100,000 in rollable funds and maybe $500,000 in non-rollable funds, that's just parked in safe, boring investments anyway. So it's a question of how much of your assets do you allocate to a high risk, high reward thing like business, and particularly Amazon. I mean, it's very, very high reward if you get it right, but like any business venture, it's risk, right? So I guess it comes down to personal financial decision, right?
And Michael, if anybody, I don't know if a lot of your folks that are listeners and or viewers are looking at the stock market, the stock market ain't that safe of a haven. True. We've had a year in this calendar year where people in most cases have lost money. So just leaving it parked where it is, I'm not saying it's a bad thing, but it might not be a good thing. Yeah. Because if you're losing money and you're not even gaining money, well, then when you factor in inflation, cost of a living increases, then you're really getting behind the eight ball in a very unfavorable way. So again, the choice is up to the individual. It really just depends on risk tolerance, what the final goals are, and we're here to help if it makes sense for you.
That makes a lot of sense. Yes, of course. I mean, it's risk tolerance, yeah, is ultimately the thing one has to have as an entrepreneur, and that balance of risk reward and having an aggressive but not, you know, self-destructive level of risk tolerance, I guess. And that's a very personal thing, as you say. So just coming back to one little issue that you raised, just want to dig bottom this out, as they say. If it's not rollable, you get a 10% penalty of all the funds, plus you get taxed on massive income tax bill. So that's not good. So neither is the case with BDRA. Is that right? Just to clarify that.
with a BDRA because it, all of the money that the person's going to be utilizing becomes deferred until you're 70 and a half. The answer is this is no. You're deferring it out just like you would with your normal self-directed or your normal 401k or IRA that you don't get taxed on until you have to take taxable distributions at 70 and a half.
Okay, so basically you will get taxed, but down the line and only on the income.
Way down the line, exactly. Yeah. And they wouldn't also be subjected to that 10% penalty for blowing it all up in the first place.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. Yeah. Okay, yeah, so this is, if you're going to use your pension at all, it sounds like the only sane way to do it is the BDRA. And then it comes down to an asset allocation decision, really, doesn't it? I mean, you know, some of it in apparently safe things. I take your point about stocks. I mean, yeah, this is to be taken with a pinch of salt, whether they're even safe. And bonds, which are an interesting one with all the countries in the world, USA, UK, EU, Japan now as well, doing quantitative easing, then bonds are also not the greatest investment right now. But yes, it's a question of asset allocation and ultimately risk tolerance. So yeah, that's just for people to decide for themselves. But it does sound like if you're going to do it at all, this is a very smart way of doing it. So look, this is all very, very interesting stuff. And it's certainly, if nothing else, eye-opening. I mean, I think I would say to any British listeners, I hope you've stuck with it so far, because whatever happens in America tends to come over to the UK in the next few years. So even if stuff like this isn't happening here yet, I got a feeling that those things may well be happening and there'll be equivalents. And if not, they'll start to open up. But also for the American listeners and your domestic listeners, there's obviously a ton of different stuff that you guys offer that's very powerful, very savvy. You really know how the system works. So you're working around it in a very elegant way. How do people get in touch or apply or just find out more about this stuff, Bruce?
Oh, that's a great question. And thank you very much for opening up that door. First of all, people can email me at any time. And my direct email address is Bruce, B-R-U-C-E, @Platinum, P-L-A-T-I-N-U-M, Financing Group, F-I-N-A-N-C-I-N-G, Group, G-R-O-U-P. Now, I'm asked constantly.
Is that .com, by the way? Sorry.
Yes, .com, yes. .com, yeah. There are two Gs there. So it's Bruce at PlatinumFinancingGroup.com.
Yeah.
Likewise, feel free, pick up the phone, give me a call. I'll give you my direct number. My direct number is 702 area code 371-2345. Again, my direct line is 702-371-2345. Just a little heads up, I'm on the West Coast in California. So for people who are in different time zone and meridians, I generally get in the office 9-10 o'clock in the morning. I know that sounds late, but I'm also usually in the office till 10-12 o'clock. Feel free to give me a call anytime between 9 o'clock and 7 o'clock California time. That should be plenty of a good chunk of a window to get in touch with me, and or feel free to text message me should you wish to. But email is a great way to get started. And then what we'll do is we'll get back to you and delve into your specific issues, and we'll try and solve them and get you as much money and funding as you're looking for to achieve.
Amazing. So that's delightfully traditional, by the way. It's not a criticism. I like it's email or call me. And by the way, folks, we will be putting a sort of prelude to this in the in the podcast. So we'll get that at the beginning and end. So if you missed that number, don't panic. We'll put a link to some show notes where you can get all those details from Bruce and all the explanations of what we've gone over today as well in summary as well. So panic not, we will get you the information if you want to get in touch with Bruce. So Bruce, just a couple of things to ask. I mean, first of all, thank you so much for sharing a lot of wisdom, but can you give us any last sort of summary advice to specifically e-commerce sellers regarding funding? As sort of, if you had to sort of give them two or three bits of general advice, what would they be?
I'm going to keep it very 20,000 foot if you don't mind.
Please do.
And I'm going to take this and I'm going to kind of widen this to any business. And this sort of goes back to the discussion that we were having just a few minutes ago, utilizing IRA or 401k funds, and that's this. To do nothing is to get you nothing. The sum total is going to be, if you are inactive and not moving forward, I can guarantee you that things are not going to change and they're going to stay very much the same. Likewise, if you put your foot in forward and your next foot forward and your next foot forward, and you create vision and goals and expectations, and you start to move towards those, you're going to get a result. As long as you give some forethought and some planning, that result likely will be beyond your wildest dreams, as it has for so many of my clients locally, nationally, as well as internationally. So I only want to wish you the very, very best. I'd love to be able to work with you. I'd love to be able to see you take the next step towards the success that you can, should, and will achieve.
Wow, excellent. That's quite the sign-off. It's proper California-based big picture, you know, positive thinking. I like it very much. So, Bruce, thank you so much for clarifying so much of the sort of mysteries of funding and giving us some very interesting options to chew on. And in some cases, I hope, as you said, to do nothing is to get nothing. Absolutely. I hope that people will at the very, very least explore things as they got the flavor of who you are, and you're not going to be trying to sell them a used car. You're going to explore it together. And I think that's always the thing that I would advise anyone to do. If in doubt, find out. And then if it's not for you, that's fine. You haven't wasted much time, but it could be the answer. And I certainly know that the funding question isn't going to go away. The more ambitious you are, 100% sure that the more you're going to need to raise funds. So this is something that's not going to go away. Very, very helpful. Bruce, thank you so much for coming on to share your wisdom and insights and to share what your company does for people.
Well, thank you so much, Michael, for having me on your show. This has been fantastic. Again, it's just been a wonderful experience, and thank you. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the 10K Collective podcast. I really hope you found the show helpful. I mentioned the London-based masterminds we've been running since September 2017. Members of the 10K Collective Mastermind make a minimum of about £480,000 a year, well over €600,000 or dollars. To find out more about that mastermind, go to amazingfba.com/10KC, K for Kilo, C for Charlie. £1 million mastermind members make a minimum of £1.2 million a year. That's about $1.5 million US dollars or euros. To find out more about that mastermind, go to amazingfba.com/MPM. That's M for Mother, P for Peter, M for Mother. Thanks for listening.